Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, it is Friday, and time for the Friday football fiesta here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, dudes and dudettes, amigos and amigettes, the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment underway now. Glad to have you. Happy Friday. You did it. You made it. Perhaps you stayed up way too late last night watching wild card baseball, Thursday night football. Doesn't matter. You got to be gassed up right now. A little adrenaline, a little energy, a little electricity, a little gas this morning, because football is upon us once again, ladies and gentlemen. And what a football weekend we have lined up. And of course, on the Friday football fiesta, we're going to go over all of it. A busy show lined up for you today. We have got joining us later on in the program, while I am waiting for him to text back the time that is best for him within the available windows, you will all remember our dear friend, colleague, and compatriot, hating ass Mario, who no longer with the BetMGM Network, but still in the broadcasting game, and a noted North Carolina Tar Heels fan. Asked him to see if he wanted to come on and give you Clemson fans a little bit of a preview of that Carolina-Clemson game at 8:40 a.m., we have got Rashad Beard, the host of the Panther Nation podcast.
Oh, that's going to be rough.
Yeah, I'm interested on the, let's say, mental health and well-being of Rashad after last weekend. I do know that after I said Monday, about an hour after we got off the air, I saw the first vid from Rashad. He labeled the performance against the Patriots. I think the exact words he used were embarrassing. So pretty much consensus there. So what can they do to get right? Can they get right? We'll ask Rashad Beard coming up at 8:40. At 9 a.m., we will, of course, set you up for the local Friday Night Lights scene as John Epps, Kevin Thomas, Jarrell Hendricks, some combination of two or three of them will join us on the show. We'll give you the full schedule of local high school football and the rundown on everything going on around the upstate. At 9:20 a.m., we will be joined by the iconic Denton Day of Sirius XM, the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. Denton Day will pull up. We'll talk about the upcoming college football Saturday, but obviously, we have got some time between here and there to get to a whole bunch of stuff. So, should you elect to do so, we'd love to have you on the program today. 844-326-3663. That's how you call the show. 844-326-3663. That's how you text the show. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Get at everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate on all social media platforms. But before we get to the football, let's get to last night's baseball. As the wild card round came to its conclusion yesterday evening, finished up last night with a 4-0 win of the New York Yankees over the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees protect this house, click clack, and will move on now to the divisional round, where they will face another divisional rival, this time the Toronto Blue Jays, the owners of the number one seed in the American League. And I bring up this game first and foremost for two primary reasons. Number one, youngsters out there, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to, as your generation says, lock in for just a moment with me, if you don't mind. I need you to lock in and listen to me for just a moment. If you are a baseball player and you would like to play baseball and do so in a successful way, if you are a baseball player and you would like to play baseball and you would like to do so in a way that wins you some accolades and some trophies down the line, then do me a favor and hear me out here for just a few minutes. If you are a pitcher, control. We talked about earlier this week. It's about control. If you look up and down the list of pitchers who are currently successful in the postseason, what you will notice is that while there are a few of them, like Mason Miller, who are leaning on gas, that man threw 104.5 miles per hour the other day. That's about as fast as you can throw a baseball. Fastest pitch in postseason history. If you can throw gas, that's fine. But if you can't, as AJ Pierzynski said the other day, if you can't dot a gnat's behind, you're not a Major League Baseball pitcher. Okay? So I need you to work on the control. If you are a batter, unless you are just physically gifted like Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire, okay, maybe not the greatest examples. Unless you just are physically gifted.
They were gifted batters. I mean,
they were gifted.
Even though they were enhanced, they still had to have the skill to do it. So I think you're correct in saying that.
They were gifted hitters. They were not gifted in a way that created what they are notorious for having done. But I get what you're saying, and you're not wrong. I get what you're saying, and you're not wrong. So unless you are gifted in a like an obvious kind of way, I need you to hear me out here. Learn how to put the ball into play in places where the ball needs to go for your team to have as much success as is possible. Learn how to go oppo taco when you need to.
What?
When you hit the ball opposite of where your batting stance would traditionally lead to you
hitting
the ball.
Where is the taco coming up?
It rhymes with oppo.
Okay, all right.
And people like things that rhyme.
There's a lot of baseball terminology that you throw out. That's the first time I think I've heard you say that before.
Usually the concept of oppo taco is for home runs that go the opposite direction. So if you are a right-handed batter, ordinarily your balls would spray out to left field. And oppo taco would be when you take it out to right field, when you push the ball out and it goes over the fence, the oppo taco. So learn how to control the baseball. Learn how to hit the baseball where the baseball needs to go. They have shifted everybody to the left, and you're a right-handed batter. Learn how to push the ball to right field. Now, the one thing that I need you young baseballers out there to hear me out on here. Please, please learn how to play good defense. Please learn how to not panic. Figure out whatever it is that you need to do in your brain when you see ball leave bat and begin to fly in your direction. Whether you've got to do like a 1 second meditation or you have to go to your happy place, Happy Gilmore style. The kids I'm talking to probably don't OG the or don't understand the OG Happy Gilmore. You'll figure it out. Whatever you've got to do to make sure that you don't panic. Because Last night, the Boston Red Sox were a comedy of errors. And I mean that both literally and metaphorically. Now, they only got tagged for two errors on the scoreboard. But if you watch that game, they could have got tagged with probably four or five. And that is true not just about this past game, last night. It is also true in game two. The Bo Sox got game one. They came out in game two yesterday, and there were a number of bad fielding incidents that occurred that knocked the Bo Sox out of game two, including what would have been perhaps not an inning-ending catch, but it would have taken a Yankee run off the board, shot out to left field, that is just dropped last night. Little bloop out to right field. There are three guys, second baseman, center fielder, right fielder, all converging on the spot. All three of them could, any one of them could have made the catch. Instead, they all kind of panic running into each other. They all kind of panic when they start getting to around where the ball is going to land, and the ball just hits the turf. Yankees end up bases loaded. They end up getting a couple of runs across. It leads to a disastrous fourth inning. You ended up with three RBI hits in that spot, one of them for a pair. It ended up being a 4-0 inning, all four runs scored, and it didn't have to happen. They could have gotten out of that one potentially with no runs allowed, realistically probably with a run allowed, and put themselves in a much better spot because even though you still did not go out there and plate any runs in this game, and we'll talk about why when I get to reason number two, this game is leading us off on the show today. I think a chunk of the reason why was once we got to the seventh, eighth inning and you found yourself down multiple runs, you had to start to press offensively a little bit. And when you have a pitcher as white hot as the Yankees had last night, and you as an offense are having to press, you're having to try to overperform, you are trying to have to go too far in order to get where you need to be, you end up trying to hit the ball out of the park instead of just hit the ball. Just get on base. Because you're saying, we need runs scored on as few hits as possible. As opposed to, let's go parade around the base pass. We had Rob Young from Borderlands in here yesterday. And he and I were talking baseball after the show was over. And we were having a discussion about AJ Pierzynski and the take he played, or I played for you from him earlier this week, where he said that the thing that is most prevalent right now is that we are developing an era of pitchers who care more about being able to throw at 102 than they care about being able to consistently put it over the plate in a spot. Pierzynski told the story about a pitcher that he worked with that said, put the mitt where the ball needs to be to K a guy. And Pierzynski said, I've been in the game 18 years. I never had a pitcher say, put the mitt where you want the ball and not, I'm going to throw the ball and you catch it. And he said this kid used Freddie Freeman's scouting chart. He knew where the blue spot was on the heat chart. And he said, put the mitt right there. I'm coming to it. And he did. We have developed an era of pitchers who want to throw at 102. Last night, the Yankees had a guy who was just putting it where the ball needed to be. But it created a world where, because of that, the Red Sox, already getting abused because of what that pitcher was doing, the Red Sox ended up late in this game having to try to mash the baseball. And they're not a baseball-mashing team. They are a good team. They are a good offense. But they're not a team built of mashers. And late in the game last night, they got to the spot where they had to try to mash the baseball. They had to try for extra base hits. They had to try for doubles and triples, not just be able to move around the base path. And as I talked about with the Atlanta Braves earlier this week, when the Braves had the slow start that they had this year, and the Braves ended up behind the eight ball before they even really got going, I think the Braves started to press. And it stunk. What happened after the Braves got eliminated? They won like 11 in a row because they weren't pressing anymore. All right, if Matt Olson goes yad, if Marcell Ozuna goes yad, great. But that's not what these guys are. Ozzie Albies, you're not a go-yard guy. Michael Harris II, you're not a... We know you can, but that's not your thing. Just get on base and let the big guys RBI you around. the Red Sox got to a point last night where they were pressing and they couldn't catch up. You make enough fielding errors, you give enough opportunities for the Yankees to move around, and you have to press, you lose. The second reason I wanted to bring up this game was because the Yankees had a young man go to the bump last night as a rookie. 8 innings, 5 hits, 0 runs allowed, 12 strikeouts. So I wrote it in the Sports Flash, and I am really excited for you to have to say this man's name repeatedly throughout the course of the day without stumbling.
Except for I already eliminated it.
You cannot eliminate this performance.
Well, it's too late.
You cannot. You can't do it. You can't do it.
I'm not going to do that.
Cam Schlitter.
Not doing it.
8 innings, 5 hits, 0 runs, 12 strikeouts.
I know a setup when I see it.
This isn't a setup.
Obviously, the guy did really well.
This is.
I'm more worried about you saying it than I am me.
Cam Schlitter. Oh, I need you to know, and this is not a joke. I practiced in the car on the way here today. I said this man. This is. The only person whose name I've said in the car more than this is probably my wife's. On the car ride here.
Well, on the way home, you probably say my name a few times, followed by curse words, but that's fine.
It's day to day, you know? It's day to day. Cam Schlitter. I drove here today, and I said Cam Schlitter. I would guess 50 to 60 times in the car on the drive here. I would wait, and I would wait, and then I'd go, Cam Schlitter. And then I would wait, and then Cam Schlitter. And see, then I got to the gas station.
You are making me uncomfortable now. I mean.
What's his name?
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because
I watched the game last night.
Okay.
I watched Cam Schlitter.
All right.
Go off last night.
Did any of the baseball guys have any trouble with it?
No, because we are all broadcast professionals. And we, of course, if we had a Sports Flash today, we would say this is the best performance in postseason baseball from a bump in a very long time. And I think that if you are going to tell the story of last night's Yankees-Red Sox game, it would be journalistic malpractice not to include Cam Schlitter. In fact, I think you would probably have to say, and I think he's earned it, I think Cam Schlitter might get the Josh Allen treatment today.
You're going to be mad at me, but I already took it out. I mean, I'm not. I definitely took it out.
You have to put it back in.
If
somebody that is new to the station is driving around, and there's plenty of opportunities for that every day, somebody's driving around, and you do the flash, and you go Yankees 4-0 Red Sox over the Red Sox. They're moving on to the divisional round to take on AL East rivals, the Jays. And they had, 8 hits last night. And everybody's going to go, well, Lonzo, we know you do excellent sports flashes. Who pitched? What was their performance? Did they have a performance worth making notes of? And the answer is, Cam Schlitter had the most noteworthy performance in the playoffs so far. I think you have to say his name at least 2 to 3 times per Sports Flash.
Yeah,
that's how impressive this was.
I love my job, and you do this to me quite a bit. And I catch
them. I'm not his parents. No, I didn't name him Cam Schlitter.
I'm well aware of that. I mean, this is the first time we've had this conflict, and I feel really bad about it. But I also, it's called preventative. It's called making sure that you don't make a mistake that could be a problem. And
what mistake would you make? Like, would you say he only went like 6 innings and gave up 3 hits, and he didn't? Like that mistake?
Well, yeah.
Getting the stat line wrong?
Definitely. I'm trusting you to be accurate. I would want, I'm not doing it. I can't. Now, if you want to come in here and read that one particular story, like every Sports Flash, just so you can say that name, I mean, feel free. Actually, you could do the whole thing. I'll just sit back and watch and then cut you off when you don't get it done in time.
First off, you don't want to break out Rob Brown News Anchor. I'll get that bad boy done with 5 seconds.
You've already told me every time I'm not here, you never get it done.
Yeah, but that's because it's not a challenge. That was a challenge.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night, rookie Cam Schlitter, 8 innings, 5 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, and 12 Ks off the bump. I need you to go around the office today and tell everybody, hey, did you get a glimpse of Schlitter? Unbelievable. Let's take a break. We got a lot of baseball and a lot more football to get to. The Rob Brown Show is a go. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It feels like this has been a running discussion on the show for a few weeks now. But there is a reason that this has been a running trend on the show for a few weeks now. It is because there is one word in football that I think is the most important word in football. And that word is consistency. That word matters. The word matters because it, I think more than anything else, will dictate the results of any given football play, any given football game, any given football season. And when I say consistency, I am not just talking about any individual aspect of the game. I am talking about every aspect of the game. If your quarterback is not consistent with the way that he plays the game, if your wide receivers are not consistent with the way they run routes, if your offensive line is not consistent with its ability to block, if your running backs are not consistent in the way that they run behind those blocks, if your defensive line is not consistent with its attack and getting to the quarterback, if your linebackers are not consistent with discipline and execution, et cetera, you will fail. But it also applies to every person on the sideline. It applies to head coaches. It applies to coordinators. It applies to assistant and position coaches. That is one of the things that I have talked about quite a bit. When you talk about coaches, play callers, we are not just talking about in the game. We are talking dating back to your spring, your installation. Are you consistent in the way that you teach, in the way that you coach, in the way that you get your guys ready to go? When we talk about the fall, are you consistent in the discipline you place on the team? Are you consistent in your treatment of players across the roster? Are you consistent in your approach to practice, game planning, etc.? Because if things are not to a rhythm, this is a lesson that I got a few years ago that has been monumentally helpful to me. When I left Jacksonville, the butthole of America, and I ended up moving here, there was a 3-month span between my departure from Jacksonville, where I went back to Pensacola, and my getting the job here. And so when I went back to Pensacola, because things were not going great for your boy, I have told you the country music song that was my life at the time. When I went back to Pensacola.
We need to collab on that. I think I could write a good
I'm telling
song
you, man,
about Jacksonville sucks. I think I could do that.
Dude, my life was a country music song. It really was. I walked in on a redheaded girl underneath another dude. Literally a couple of days later, her dog killed my dog. I had to throw everything I own into the back of a U-Haul truck and get the schlitter up out of Jacksonville. Like, it was not great. So I got back to Pensacola, and I ended up, I put myself, not put myself in, because this gives it negative connotations. I think this is a good thing, and I think everyone should take involved, but I needed in that moment more than I normally do. I needed a bit of therapy. I went to therapy. And as I was working through everything that was happening with the therapist, the therapist said to me, the problem you're having right now, like obviously there's a lot of stuff that is emotionally detrimental, emotionally traumatic, correct? He said, but let me give you the other problem that you're having right now. Every bit of pattern, routine, consistency, and your life is gone. And even people who, like me, I say to people all the time, I don't like patterns and consistency. I like spontaneity. I like getting that text at 7:15 p.m. from the boys going, hey, this band is playing. Or, hey, this thing is happening. This beer festival is happening. We're going. And going, yeah, no, for sure. Let's go. Let's get up out of here. But the reality is human beings are evolved as pattern-seeking creatures. We are pattern-seeking creatures. You want to know why all music sounds exactly the same? You want to know why all music is very generic and bland and formulaic now?
Satan.
No, that's not why. Unless you consider late-stage capitalism, that, in which case, let's have it. Let's get weird. Why not? No, the correct answer.
Nice counter.
You like that? Now, music is generic, formulaic, and repetitive because it works. You know why it works? Because we're pattern-seeking creatures. We are evolved when we recognize a pattern, complex or simple. We are evolved when we recognize a pattern to give ourselves a dopamine hit, to give yourself a little bit of the feel-good chemical in your brain. So the reason that music is formulatic.
I was going to say, this show does that for me.
All the time. That's why I'm a good mood guy. Because if I can give you the hit of dopamine, you will get addicted to Rob Brown.
Let's all say thank you, Rob Brown.
You're welcome. I'm just here to make your life better and dopamine filled. So when you listen to music, even though you may not actively be thinking about it, your brain is 4, 5, 6 beats ahead of the song, trying to predict what the next thing is, the hook, the pattern, the verse, whatever. And when you do, you get a dopamine hit. That dopamine hit is what gives you that feeling of joy. That's why songs that are upbeat are very catchy. You're like, oh, got it. Got the pattern. Got the formula here. Upbeat, dopamine hit. Consistency is very important to us as human beings. And I would argue that one of the things that the most successful people in life have, more than me, is discipline. What is discipline? Enacting consistency. It is recognizing what consistently makes you better and forcing yourself to do that even when you absolutely do not want to. That's what it is. Consistency. I may not feel like going to the gym today, but I am going to go because consistency helps me grow physically and mentally in this case. That's why people who are jacked, bro, they have to be consistent. They have to be disciplined. People who are very successful at work, ordinarily, it is because they recognize the activities that they can take, do, whatever, that are successful, and they have the discipline and the consistency to keep doing those things even when they don't want to. Consistency is what builds and breeds success. Why do I bring this word up right now? Because now, for the first time this season, I think the South Carolina Gamecocks have an opportunity to build some consistency. Going into the season against Virginia Tech, it is obviously week number one. Hopefully, if you've done it right, you had consistency coming out of spring going into fall. Hopefully, you had consistency throughout the fall in your execution, in your practice, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully, you've got all that together. But when it comes time to play football, you can't build consistency until you do a thing. Until you do a thing. Now, once you do a thing, you've got an opportunity to build consistency. The good news for South Carolina is you've got an opportunity for consistency. You've got an opportunity to put something together. You've got an opportunity when you travel to LSU. You've got an opportunity when you get to that game. You've got an opportunity to do what you did in the last game. Now, here's why I bring this up now. Because maintaining that consistency through a bye week can be more difficult than doing it the week after you play. This is going to be a matter of, can you take what you did last week against Kentucky? And can you recognize what you did well? Can you recognize what worked and what was successful, even if it was against an inferior opponent? I am very much a believer in the cliche of sometimes you just got to see one go in, right? Sometimes you just got to hit a good one. I'm a golfer. I'm a firm believer that when I go out and play around a golf with the boys, get there early, get on the range, go out and hit a few. You know how it works for me? I start with a pitching wedge, and I put a bucket of balls down, and I start swinging the pitching wedge. And once I stick one close to the target, move up to the 7-iron. Hit a few, get into the rhythm. Once I stick one close to the next target, go to the 3-iron. Swing that a bunch of times. Get comfortable. Once I see one go in, that dopamine rush from hitting that right shot, you're going to connect to what you just did. Hang on to that one. Then go work through the bag, get to the driver. Hit a handful. Once I pipe one with the driver, put it in the bag, put it on the cart, go out to hole number one and get ready. Consistency. But there is a big difference between working your way up through the bag, piping one with the driver on the range, then taking it immediately over to the first tee versus going out to the range, working your way through the bag, piping one with the driver, and then having to wait an hour until your tee time. The consistency can get lost if you do not work at it. So, I am very intrigued. When we talk to Lulu Kesson next week, I am very intrigued when we hear the press conferences. I am very intrigued when we start getting practice reports to hear what the structure was for this team on the bye week. To hear what the structure was for this team on the bye week when consistency matters. Are we going to see an offensive line that is going to open holes up for Attaway, for Faison? Are we going to see a play calling, this is why I brought up the coaches, are we going to see a play call that continues to utilize Lenora Sellers like they did against Kentucky in a way that they did not do against the previous two opponents, Vandy and Mizzou? Are we going to see consistency with a team that is off this week? It is going to be a tough environment down there in LSU. They're angry right now. They thought it was an undefeated run. That loss to Ole Miss, especially like anybody but Ole Miss, stung. Will they have consistency, the Gamecocks, especially when they are in the face of arguably the most difficult stadium to play football in America as a visitor, Death Valley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana? I have not been as interested and intrigued in practice reports for a team as I am out of South Carolina over the course of this weekend. Let's take her back. This is basketball starting lineup user guy here.
And now, introducing the starting lineup
of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is The fan upstate.
Yeah, it is Beastie Boys like. Yeah, it is.
It clicked.
That's why you pick. I mean, you know, you're talking about that familiarity. You're talking about that beat thing. You know what they're doing, but, you know, legally, I guess it's okay.
You've got to fight for your right to have a nice social engagement. Oh,
look,
man, I missed my hook.
I mean, it was so close.
Missed my hook. There we go. Vanderbilt, Alabama, 3:30 Saturday.
I am so rooting for Vanderbilt.
I think America is, to be honest.
I mean, you know, I want my teams to win, and I don't think they can beat the true upper echelon. I'm still not sold on Alabama. I think Alabama's going to think we're going to get them back, and maybe they won't. Can you imagine that two years in a row?
And at your crib this time.
Yeah.
Right? Not at Vanderbilt. Not exactly the...
There might be a riot if Vanderbilt were to beat Alabama 2 years in a row.
It would be interesting. The reaction of Bammers towards Kalen DeBoer going from knocking off Georgia at their crib last weekend to then turning around and losing to Vandy in your own this weekend, I think Bama fans would have whiplash from the very different emotional reactions of those two results.
I don't think it happened. You don't think it happened, I'm sure, but it could. I mean, the possibility is there. Vanderbilt is undefeated.
Vanderbilt is undefeated.
Alabama is not, right?
Alabama is not. Yeah. They do have one loss. It was that opening week loss to Florida State, obviously. Since that loss, they've been a very different Alabama football team. 11.5-point favorites are the Tide at home against the Vanderbilt Commodores. Now, that's an interesting line for a few reasons. Number one, not a full 2-score line. Number two, more than a touchdown and a field goal line. So it's effectively like we think Alabama's clearly the better team, but not indistinguishably better. 11.5 is a big line, but just to kind of put that into perspective, Georgia is at home this weekend. They are hosting the same Kentucky team that just got trounced by South Carolina last week. Georgia's favored by 20.5 in that game at their own crib. Bama favored by 11.5. And again, a lot of this goes into, as I have told you before, a lot, this is a good Vanderbilt team. Diego Pavia lives for this type of football game. These are the types of football games that this guy feels like he is going to leave his legacy with Vanderbilt because of. On top of that, Vanderbilt, under Clark Lea, is not a team that is afraid of the moment. They're just not. They have consistently risen to the moment. In fact, it is only the lower level games that Vanderbilt has struggled with the last couple of years. I'm not saying they've won all the big games, but they've been up for most of them as of late. I like this team a lot. But man, I'm having a hard time thinking they can cover against Alabama, to be honest with you. I know you're not in on the Tide. I am. And one of the reasons why, and I think this has kind of floated under the radar to some degree, one of the reasons why is that loss to Florida State, which, again, I still am not sold that we know what Florida State is. I thought after the Bama win, being elevated to the top 10, 2 weeks in, being elevated to, what did Florida State get to? Number 6, I think, at one point. I thought that might be a little bit high. It was a great win over Alabama. But I also think that it has not been necessarily taken into consideration. I do think this is something that too many of us do sometimes. I don't think we knew what Alabama was. We didn't have Jam Miller in that game. That was their RB1 coming into the season. I don't know how much different that game is if they have their starting running back and they are not going with an RB2-3 mix out of the backfield in that spot. They did not have, I believe, two of their predicted opening day starting offensive linemen in that game. Florida State obviously won the line of scrimmage. How much different is if they have the, let's use our word again, consistency of the guys who practice in the spring and the fall as a starting five as their starting five? I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is they have, over the past few weeks, gotten all of those guys back. And as they have gotten all of those guys back, this team has just gotten better. I am willing to admit, I am absolutely pulling for Vanderbilt to pull the upset here. If for no other reason, then, if Vanderbilt pulls the upset, great one. There's a very solid chance that I tell the wife, I'll be back tomorrow. I get in the car and I drive down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, find a spot on a roof of a hotel and just watch as that city descends into bedlam. It will be chaos in the streets and I'd be here for it.
I was going to ask if you're going to take a fiddle, but that's a very, you
know. No, I don't want to distract myself from watching the Gumps lose their minds in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, if given the opportunity. So
I know some of them Gumps. They definitely will lose their mind.
Hey, I broadcast it in the Florida Panhandle, which we affectionately refer to as Lower Alabama. I know the Gumps well, and I love the Gumps. They're great people. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, one of my favorite places I've ever been to go to a football game. I went down there 2008, 2009. Alabama was playing Mississippi State. I had a ball, man. The Alabama fans are great. At the same time, they're a different breed of cat, man. Different breed of cat. And obviously, with the run of Saban, they got even more different over the years. But with that being said, I am pulling for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Outside of Diego Pavia, who we know can cause problems because of the fact that not only does he have a gun, not only can he move with the football, he's not afraid of contact. Now, that can be problematic for a lot of quarterbacks. You want your quarterback, like even a guy like Lenoris, I want him utilized as a design runner. I do not want him hunting contact, right? Hey, if you get to the edge and the edge is set, cut it up, dive. Just get down. Diego Pavia, I don't think Clark Lee has wasted a single breath telling Diego Pavia, if you're going to take contact, go down. Diego Pavia is running into it and doing his best to run through it. I love this kid. I love watching him play. He's entertaining before, during, after football games. You know the mindset that I believe Clark Lee gives to that Commodore team. I think Alabama's going to cover and then some. I think Alabama is going to cover and then some. I think this game is going to get ugly. I don't want it to. I want it to be dramatically closer than I think it is going to be. But I don't know how they keep up. Vandy is plus 340 on the money line. Bama minus 450. Bet 450 to win one. I just don't see how they're going to win this football game. You are looking at, obviously, and for the record, coming into the year, there were two wide receivers that were expected to break out on the cover of the AA sports game. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State, Ryan Williams at Alabama. And so far, like, they've had some spots, but neither one of them has really put up the numbers you would expect. And I would say that Ryan Williams at Alabama is a big part of that reason why. Then there's the other part of the conversation. While he has not necessarily been the guy, or at least not put up the numbers that you expect in the passing game, and he's taken some criticism, and I think it is fair to get the pub that you got during the offseason, to get the cover of the video game, to be a Heisman. I think if he and Jeremiah Smith, if I recall correctly, were the two players that had the shortest odds to win a Heisman non-quarterback. Like, you've got to show up. You've got to put up numbers if you're getting all that attention. On the flip side, I think one of the reasons why Ryan Williams has to some degree disappeared is because Ty Simpson, the quarterback at Alabama, for everything we have said about Diego Pavia, the only thing that doesn't apply to Ty Simpson is the physicality part. Like, he's not hunting contact like Diego Pavia. Ty Simpson is stepping out right now. Past three games, and again, this includes Georgia right now. In the past three games, he has completed 82% of his passes. He has 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. On the season, 11 touchdowns, 3rd in the SEC, 0 turnovers. Like the kid, we came into this season, and my big narrative about the Southeastern Conference, which I built when we were at Media Days, was I think this league is going to be determined by quarterbacks this year. I think this league is going to be determined by signal callers. If it's Lenora Sellers going to win a Heisman, I think South Carolina has an impact on who wins the SEC. If Gunnar Stockton is everything that Kirby Smart tried to sell him as, Georgia can win an SEC title this year. In fact, that's who I picked to do so. If DJ Lagway down at Florida is everything that Billy Napier sold him to be, Florida can be in that mix. Turns out he's not, but if he was, they could have been in the mix. Is it Marcel Reed at Texas A&M? Is it Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt? And again, I'm not saying every one of these teams are an SEC championship team. I'm saying if these guys stepped up, any or all of them could have had an impact on who was. Diego Pavia is obviously in that discussion right now. Diego Pavia is having an impact on how the SEC is going to shape up at the end of the year. I've already brought it up. With the loss to Vanderbilt, South Carolina had to win, to me, all 5 of their opening 5 games. With the loss to Vanderbilt, despite the fact that that ended up being a loss to a top 25 team, top 20 team, that also, I think, killed South Carolina's chances to make the college football playoff. That's what I mean when I say they have the talent to shape what the SEC's final shape looks like. I went all in on the narrative about quarterbacks around the Southeastern Conference. And I don't think I was wrong about it. It's just that when I went in on the narrative about quarterbacks shaping the SEC's final form, I did not think that Ty Simpson at the University of Alabama might be the most important quarterback in this conference. And right now he is. Right now he is. Ty Simpson, and I think, again, I personally think Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. I'm not ready to say great. I can go back to the run he had to a natty with Washington, and I can and will say a large part of that was because he got Michael Penix Jr. under center. I do not think Jimbo Fisher has a national championship if he did not have Jameis Winston on that football team, right? But I do think he is a... Kalen DeBoer is not Nick Saban. We know that. Now, the question is Kalen DeBoer Jimbo Fisher, where he stumbled into Michael Penix Jr. and Roma Dunze and a couple of other guys, but he stumbled into Michael Penix Jr. and was carried there, or is he a good coach? I think he's a good coach. I like the system. I like the plays, whatever. But you've still got to have a dog. And I don't think anybody, and I have been thinking about it, I don't think anybody at SEC Media Days, all of us self-proclaimed experts, I don't think any of us thought that Ty Simpson was going to be the most impactful quarterback in the SEC. I am pulling openly for the Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend, if only for comedy's sake. Ty Simpson's going to win this game for Alabama, and it's going to be comfortable. It's going to be comfortable. The spread's 11.5. One of my favorite bets of the weekend is Alabama to cover 11.5. Because I cannot come up with a way that Vanderbilt is able to keep it close. Because even if Diego Pavia is going off, do you know what the one thing Alabama can do that other teams, South Carolina, for instance, were unable to do that day? And I don't think it's because Vandy has a dominant D-line. I think they didn't have it that day. Is run the ball. Alabama can take advantage of Ty Simpson being wildly efficient with the football. And because they have Jam Miller and Caden Proctor on the offensive line, they can run it against anybody. It's how they bled Georgia to death. And if they can go to Athens and bleed Georgia to death, as much as I love Clark Lee, football dude, Diego Pavia, football dude, monster, psychopath, sometimes the other team's just better than you And I think that's going to be the case here. Texas said Pavia makes, wait for it, consistently stupid throws if you watch his film. Vandy lives and dies by staying on the field on third down offensively. If they can't convert some early ones, it will be over by halftime. I agree, and I think that's going to be a problem for the Doors. All right, water cooler cheat sheet, top three stories when we come back. Then we take a look at the biggest college football games. Hour number three, we'll do some NFL talk. 8:40, Rashad Beard talks Panthers. 9 o'clock, Moving the Chains, set you up for Friday Night Lights. 9:20, we have got Denton Day of SiriusXM. And now, Lonzo is going to mention the best pitcher in the postseason so far when he does his sports flash.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.